Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this deep dive into the world of academic conferences. We're going to be talking about how to make an impact with your research, and we have a really cool source.
We do.
For this one.
Yeah.
We have someone
really special guest
who's been there and done that. And seen it from all sides.
Yes.
So we're going to be looking at this document called Writing and Presenting Quality Conference Papers.
Yeah.
By Professor Joseph Kassa.
He's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah.
And
he's got such a unique perspective because he has worked both in, in the practical engineering world and in academia.
Yeah. He's like a rock star and a record executive.
Exactly.
All in one.
He's seen it from both sides.
Yeah. And so we're going to get
all the secrets.
All the secrets, all the tips and tricks from all the tricks from Professor Kassa.
Yeah.
We're going to cover things like how to make your abstract stand out, how to use something called an annotated outline.
Yeah.
And
that's a good one.
Even how to make sure you do your research properly and don't accidentally plagiarize anyone.
Which is very important.
Yeah, it is. And we're also
going to talk about
hear some real life stories.
Oh yeah,
about reviewers.
This is some mysterious reviewers.
Yeah,
out in the wild.
Some of those comments are really helpful.
Yes,
and some are just
not so much.
But either way, we'll learn something.
Exactly.
Okay, so first things first, Professor Kassa kicks things off by asking, why bother publishing at all?
Right.
I mean, sure, conference trips can be fun.
They're great.
And a longer resume looks impressive.
Sure does.
But he wants us to go a little deeper.
Dig deeper.
What kind of impact do you want to have on your field?
That's a good question to start off with.
It is.
It says
it's really making us think about the legacy we want to leave behind with our research.
Yeah. Your impact.
It's not just about getting your name out there. It's about contributing to the bigger conversation in your field.
Right. And not just being on the sidelines, shouting from the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But actually being a part of it.
And that brings us to this idea of co-authoring.
Yeah.
Which Professor Kassa talks a bit about.
Working together.
Working together.
Yeah.
It can be awesome.
Brainstorming.
Yeah.
You know, getting different perspectives.
Totally. Like bouncing ideas off each other.
Bouncing ideas.
And creating something really cool.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's not always easy.
But yeah, there are some downsides. Mm-hmm. You've got different personalities, different ways of working, and, you know, sometimes people have different ideas about what the research is really about.
Yeah, so you have to be on the same page.
Yes. You need to communicate clearly
and
make sure everyone understands what you're trying to achieve.
It's like having a band, you know?
It is.
You all want to make music, but you got to agree on the genre. What it's going to sound like, and who's playing what instrument.
Who's on drums?
Yeah.
Who's on vocals?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about grabbing attention.
Okay.
Professor Kassa uses this great analogy for your abstract.
Mm.
He says, think of it like a movie trailer.
The movie trailer.
You've got to hook people in.
Yeah, you've got just a few seconds.
Those first few sentences.
Yeah.
And make them want to read the whole paper.
You want them to buy a ticket to the whole movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he breaks down a killer abstract into three parts.
Three parts.
First, you set the scene, the background, the context of your research.
Set the stage.
Yeah. Then you present the problem.
Yeah.
That you're tackling, the big question you're trying to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And finally,
the big reveal.
You tease the solution.
The solution.
Your new approach or the findings that you've come up with.
Right.
And he gives this really practical tip.
Does he ever?
Start with bullet points.
Bullet points.
Get all your main ideas down.
Yeah.
And then later you can smooth them out into proper sentences.
It takes the pressure off.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always trying to edit as I write.
Oh, yeah.
And it just slows me down.
It does.
Yeah.
I get that.
Okay. So Professor Kassa has this thing he calls an annotated outline.
Ooh. I like this one.
Yeah. He says it's like a secret weapon.
A secret weapon.
For writing a structured paper.
Tell me more.
So it's all about planning and organization.
Okay.
Basically, it's like a detailed roadmap.
Okay.
To keep you from getting lost in the writing process.
So you don't go off on a tangent.
Exactly. And he even advocates for a visual approach.
Oh, interesting.
Almost like designing presentation slides.
Ooh.
Each section of the paper becomes a slide.
Oh, okay.
And the bullet points underneath are like your subsections.
Oh, so you're visualizing the paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you're actually going to present it.
That's a good tip.
It is. And he even provides a specific paper template. You can find it referenced as 0002 in his materials.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got our ideas organized.
Right.
Now comes the actual research part.
Yes.
And we both know it's not just about Googling stuff.
Not just Googling. There's more to it.
So much more.
Yeah.
Professor Kasser emphasizes the importance of using credible sources.
Credible sources.
Think peer-reviewed journals, conference proceedings, okay. authoritative books in your field.
Those are the good ones.
Those are the good ones.
Yes.
And he even recommends specific tools to streamline the process.
Streamline the process.
Like Google Desktop.
Yeah.
InCO's iPub.
Okay.
And iExplore.
But let's unpack those for a second.
Okay.
So InCO's iPub, that's a database focused on systems engineering,
yeah.
which is Professor Kasser's specialty.
Right.
So it makes sense that he would mention that.
Yeah.
And then iExplore is massive.
It is.
That's for all things engineering and technology.
Yeah.
Lots of great research papers in there.
So depending on your field, one or both of those might be super helpful.
Very useful.
Yes, very useful.
Yeah.
But even with all the right tools, there's still the issue of, how do we use this research without getting into trouble?
Right.
You know?
How do we avoid the P word?
Yes. How do we avoid plagiarism?
Plagiarism.
That's a big one.
Huge.
Professor Kasser gets pretty serious about this.
As he should.
Yeah. And rightfully so in the age of copy and paste.
Right. It's so easy to slip up.
It is.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure we're giving credit where credit is due?
Cite everything.
Cite everything.
Properly.
Properly.
It's so important.
Yeah, both for ethical reasons and to make your paper stronger.
Absolutely.
Think of it this way.
Okay.
When you cite a source, you're not just avoiding trouble.
Right.
You're saying, hey, look at all this other great work that supports my ideas.
Showing you've done your homework.
Yeah. It shows you've done your homework.
Right.
But what about when we're not directly quoting someone?
Okay.
But we're summarizing their ideas in our own words.
That's called paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing.
And it's totally fine.
Okay.
But you still need to cite the source.
You do.
Professor Kasser gives some great examples of how to do this effectively.
Yeah.
It's about finding that sweet spot where you're showing you understand the research, but you're still making your own unique contribution.
Your own spit on things.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got our research.
Right.
We're citing prose.
Like prose.
What's the next step in going from a good paper to a great paper?
Hmm. That's a good question.
I think Professor Kasser would say.
What would he say?
It's about turning up the brain power.
Okay.
And engaging in what he calls critical thinking.
Critical thinking.
And he doesn't just mean nitpicking or finding flaws.
Right.
It's about deeply engaging with the material.
Oh.
Both your own and the research you're citing.
Gotcha.
He actually lays out 9 points.
9 points.
Of critical thinking.
Oh, wow.
And I think it'd be really helpful.
I think so, too.
To break down a few of those that are especially relevant to you and your research.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay. So let's dive into those critical thinking points.
Okay.
It's all about taking our analysis to the next level.
To the next level.
All right. So one point Professor Kasser really emphasizes is this idea of identifying assumptions.
Assumptions.
Both your own
and
those of the authors you're citing.
Right. So don't just take things at face value.
Yeah. Question everything.
Question everything.
Like, for example, let's say you're reading a paper about a new algorithm.
Okay.
That claims to be super efficient.
Okay.
A critical thinker would ask, what are the underlying assumptions?
Yeah.
About the data.
The data.
That this algorithm is being applied to.
Interesting.
Maybe it only works well under very specific conditions, which might not apply to your research.
It's like assuming a recipe that works great for apples will also work for oranges.
Yeah.
You have to consider the unique characteristics of each ingredient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another crucial aspect of critical thinking is evaluating the quality of the evidence.
Oh.
The evidence.
Just because something is published doesn't mean it's automatically true or reliable.
Doesn't mean it's gospel.
Right. We've all fallen down those research rabbit holes
where
you find a paper that seems amazing,
but
then you realize the methodology is flawed.
Right.
Or the sample size is tiny.
Tiny sample size.
Yeah.
Not good.
So Professor Kasser encourages us to be discerning readers.
Discerning readers.
To look for red flags.
Red flags.
Like weak methodology biased samples.
Okay.
Or conflicts of interest.
Conflicts of interest.
And this applies not just to the research you're reading,
right,
but to your own work as well.
Hold yourself to the same standard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about how to actually incorporate all this research you've gathered into your paper.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean like slapping a bibliography on the end.
Yeah.
It's got to flow naturally.
Right.
Be woven into the fabric of your argument.
Woven in.
Professor Kasser shows us several techniques for doing this well.
Okay.
For instance, you can introduce a direct quote
okay.
with some context, like,
yeah.
as Hull pointed out way back in 1962.
Okay.
Effective systems engineering calls for careful coordination of process people and tools.
Mm.
This coordination can't just be learned from a textbook.
Oh, I like that.
I like how that seamlessly integrates the quote.
Yeah.
And sets up the next point about the limitations of textbook learning.
It's not just plopping a quote in there. It's part of the conversation.
It is.
Yeah.
And Professor Kasser also shows how to paraphrase effectively.
Paraphrase, yeah.
Which is super important.
It is.
When you're summarizing someone else's ideas.
Right.
But you want to keep your own voice.
Your own voice.
He gives this great example.
Okay.
He uses a quote from Velez and Seviano.
Okay.
About how students in a digital hardware design course.
Hmm.
Should be doing the same type of work they would in a real company.
Interesting.
And then he shows how to rephrase that idea.
Okay.
While still giving them credit.
Of course, good credit.
So it's about understanding the core idea.
The core idea.
And expressing it in your own words.
Yeah.
While still acknowledging the original source.
Acknowledging the source.
Makes sense.
It does.
Now, remember that critical thinking we talked about earlier?
Oh, yeah?
Well, Professor Kasser says it's not a one-time thing.
Okay.
You've got to apply it throughout the entire writing process.
The whole time.
Especially when you're reviewing your own work
yeah.
and the work of others.
So those 9 points.
Yeah, those 9 points we discussed.
We should be running our own work through that filter.
Yes.
Okay.
Challenge your own assumptions.
Well, okay.
Evaluate your evidence. Consider alternative perspectives.
Alternative perspectives.
And when you're reading others' work, do the same.
Mm.
Ask tough questions.
Be good. Yeah.
Don't just accept everything at face value.
Don't just accept it.
Professor Kasser even shares some of the reviewer comments he's received on his own papers.
On his own papers.
It's a good reminder
yeah.
that even seasoned researchers get critiqued.
They do.
And some of those critiques are really insightful.
Yeah.
Offering genuine suggestions
okay.
for improvement.
Right.
But others? Well, let's just say they're not so helpful.
Not so helpful.
He actually includes a comment he got on a paper.
Okay.
About a project called Creep.
Creep. Creep.
The reviewer said.
What did they say?
After reading the paper, I still do not know what Creep is supposed to do.
Hmm.
The description of the element of Creep features is poor and not comprehensible.
Wow.
This effort is too ambitious, in my opinion, for 20 weeks, even for mature grad students.
Ouch.
I know, right? Sure.
Yeah. That's going to sting a little bit.
It does.
So you wonder if they even understood the project.
I know.
Yeah.
But the point Professor Kasser is making
okay.
is that not all feedback is created equal.
Right.
Some of it is valuable.
Okay.
Some of it's just noise.
Just noise.
It's about developing a thick skin.
Yeah.
Taking what's useful.
Okay.
And letting go of the rest.
Letting go of the rest.
He shares another comment.
No!
That's even more blunt.
More blunt.
This is not a professional paper, but a proposal.
Mm.
The concept is not based on data.
Okay.
But on opinion.
Oh.
The author should pursue his recommendations.
Wow.
Talk about subjective.
Yeah, it almost sounds like the reviewer just didn't agree with the author's premise.
Right.
From the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that reviewers are human, too.
They are human.
With their own biases and opinions.
Biases and opinions.
And sometimes those opinions seep into their feedback.
They do.
It definitely makes the review process seem a bit daunting.
It does a little bit like a lottery.
It does.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Professor Kasser stresses
okay.
that there are certain grounds for rejection.
Yeah.
That should never be acceptable.
Okay.
Rejection should always be based on substantive issues.
Substantive issues.
Like factual errors.
Okay.
Plagiarism.
Yeah.
Or lack of rigor in the research.
Lack of rigor.
But not just because the reviewer happens to disagree
right.
with your conclusion.
Not just because they disagree.
Right.
Yeah.
Academic debate is healthy.
It is.
But it shouldn't be a reason
yeah.
to shut down a paper altogether.
To shut it down.
Professor Kasser advocates for a system that's fair objective and truly focused on advancing knowledge.
Advancing knowledge.
So even in the face of criticism,
okay,
we shouldn't be afraid to put our ideas out there
yeah.
and contribute to the conversation.
Contribute to the conversation.
Now let's say you've made it through the review process.
Okay.
Maybe you had to make some revisions.
Some revisions.
But ultimately, Your paper's been accepted.
Ooh, hoo.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It's time to start thinking about presenting your work at the conference.
Oh, yeah.
That's where all those public speaking nerves kick in.
The nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
But Professor Kasser has some great advice.
Does he?
For making your presentation shine.
Shine.
First and foremost, he says, to think of your presentation
okay.
as an advertisement.
Okay.
For your paper.
An advertisement?
So it's like the trailer for the full movie.
A trailer.
You've got a limited amount of time to capture the audience's attention
okay.
and convince them that your research is worth reading in full.
Worth reading.
And how do we do that?
How do we do that?
Do we just throw a bunch of data at them?
No. Professor Kasser is a big advocate for storytelling.
Storytelling.
Yeah. Instead of just presenting facts and figures, weave a narrative that highlights the key findings and insights of your work.
So make it engaging, relatable, and even a little bit emotional.
A little emotional.
I love that people remember stories way better than just dry data.
Way better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He also stresses the importance of keeping the presentation concise and focused.
Concise and focused.
Stick to your allotted time. Avoid information overload.
Okay.
And make sure your slides are visually appealing.
Visually appealing.
Without being distracting.
Right.
Think clear graphics, large fonts.
Okay.
And high contrast.
High contrast.
So no death by PowerPoint.
No death by PowerPoint.
And of course, the key to any good presentation is practice, practice, practice.
Practice, practice, practice.
Rehearse your talk. Multiple times, both alone and in front of an audience, if you can.
In front of an audience.
And I bet he has some tips.
Oh, I bet he does.
For handling the Q&A session.
The Q&A.
Which can be pretty terrifying sometimes.
Yeah. It can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, yeah, he does.
So Professor Kasser says we should see the Q&A.
Okay.
Not as an interrogation.
Okay.
But as a chance to have a back and forth with the audience.
A conversation.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to clarify your ideas, address any lingering questions, and maybe even spark some new insights.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good mindset shift.
Good mindset.
But what about those moments?
Yeah.
When you get a question that completely throws you off.
Oh, yeah.
Any advice?
Those curveballs.
Yeah, those curveballs.
Yeah.
Any advice for gracefully handling those brain freezes?
Well, Professor Kasser says
active
listening is key.
Active listening.
Yeah, really take a moment to hear what the person is asking.
Mm.
And don't be afraid to pause and gather your thoughts.
So no knee-jerk reactions or rambling on about something completely unrelated.
Don't go off on a tangent.
No tangents.
Yeah.
He also suggests repeating the question back to the audience.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is.
Yeah.
It ensures everyone heard it correctly.
Right.
And it buys you a few extra seconds.
A few extra seconds.
To formulate a thoughtful response.
Yeah. To think.
That's a great tip. It makes you look super attentive.
You look like you're paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives you a moment to collect your thoughts.
Right.
Now, it's perfectly fine to admit.
Yeah.
If you don't know the answer to a question.
It happens.
It does happen.
Yeah.
Professor Kasser advises saying something like.
Like what?
That's a really interesting question.
Okay.
And I'd love to explore it further.
Hmm.
I don't have those specific details at hand right now.
Okay.
But I'd be happy to follow up with you after the presentation.
I like that.
So honesty and a willingness to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Go a long way.
They do.
He also cautions against getting defensive or dismissive.
Right.
Even if a question feels challenging or critical of your work.
Which can happen.
It can.
It's easy to get flustered.
It is when you feel like your research is being attacked.
Right. But Professor Kasser says we should remember that the audience is there to learn.
Mm.
And sometimes tough questions can lead to really valuable discussions and insights.
Yeah.
It's all about maintaining a professional demeanor and engaging in a respectful dialogue.
So even when we disagree, we can still learn from each other.
Absolutely.
What about those people?
Oh, yeah.
Who always want a copy of your slides.
The slide requests, Professor Kasser suggests preparing a separate handout with key takeaways and your contact information.
So that way you can share the most important points while also protecting any sensitive data or intellectual property.
Makes sense.
That's a smart approach.
It is.
So as we wrap up
our
deep dive into Professor Kasser's wisdom,
what's
one final piece of advice?
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, that he leaves us with.
He says, don't ever make anyone lose face. Don't ever make anyone lose face.
I love that.
That's interesting. Yeah. So it's not just about presenting your research.
Right.
It's about fostering a sense of respect.
Respect.
And collegiality. Yeah. Within the academic community.
It's a community.
It is.
We're all in this together.
We are.
Trying to advance knowledge.
Yeah. And even when we disagree, we should do so respectfully.
Respectfully.
That's a great note to end on.
It is.
Well, there you have it.
That's it.
Your deep dive into the world of academic conferences.
We get it.
We did it. We covered everything.
Everything.
From crafting your abstract to handling those tricky post-presentation questions.
All the questions.
All the questions.
Yeah.
All with insights from Professor Kasser's years of experience.
He's the man.
He is.
Yeah.
We hope you found this deep dive helpful.
I hope so.
And maybe even a little bit inspiring.
Inspiring.
Remember?
Writing and presenting conference papers is more than just checking a box on your resume.
More than a checkbox.
It's a chance to share your unique perspective with the world, to contribute to the conversation in your field.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe even make a real impact.
Make an impact.
So go forth. Embrace the challenge.
Yes.
And let your research shine.
Let it shine.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Thanks, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems. Take care.